This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, Michael, I've been pretty vocal about my frustrations with Adam Silver as the NBA commissioner. I feel like he's focusing on all the wrong things, and the biggest thing he needs to be paying attention to, he's not. And for a while, even the national networks, but the national networks like ESPN, were kind of doing the same thing. They weren't willing to acknowledge some of the bigger issues because, you know, obviously they have a relationship. They have a relationship with the NBA. So they're very careful to do this. Well, here's one of the I think he's a big Adam Silver guy. I think he's a big supporter of all things NBA, played in the NBA, and you've heard him, Kendrick Perkins. So I've talked about it all year. Now the coaches and the players are coming out against you, talking about flopping, how it's a major issue in the NBA. I thought it really came to light when I read Caden Winningham, like his story, him talking about the biggest problem in the NBA. But then we were hearing more and more, coach night after night, player night after night, talking about the biggest issue surrounding the NBA, and it's not tanking. It's not even necessarily like favoritism or who's getting the calls. It's flopping. It's the optics of the game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a phenomenal basketball player, but doesn't always look like that because he's constantly flailing his arms. And I know Thunder fans don't want to admit that, but come on, Thunder fans. I get it. The Thunder would they're going to sweep the Lakers. They're going to beat the Lakers tonight. They're going to sweep them. They're a better team. They're a better team than the Nuggets. They're probably a better team than the Spurs. They're probably going to win an NBA championship. I actually really hope to see Detroit and Thunder in the finals. I think that might be kind of entertaining. I still think the Thunder are the best team. So this isn't me knocking the Oklahoma City Thunder. But come on, you guys can even it. I can admit Joker flops. Why can't Thunder fans admit that Shai is becoming a meme, a gif, whatever you want to call it, in the NBA? Here's Kendrick Perkins talking about the most previous game between the Thunder and the Lakers and just how bad of an embarrassment it really was and continues to shine this really negative light on the product. Here's Kendrick Perkins finally making some sense.
We have a problem. We have a serious problem right now. And that game last night highlighted it. I believe that I love Adam Silver. I think he's the best commissioner in sports. I love that, you know, he's a man of the people. And with that being said, he's going to have to listen to the people. They have a lot of upset fans that are on the internet that were watching the game that didn't like the way that game was called last night. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't like it either. Matter of fact, I hated it, every single moment of it. It was nothing but complaining. It was a lot of flopping going on. It was a lot of no calls. And here's the thing, right? When you get players, and this has been a trend throughout the postseason, calling out officiating, you have to address it. And it's not just addressing the players with fines. That's one thing. But the officials got to have some level of accountability. And also, you don't want to get to the point where fans are sitting up here talking about the game is rigged. Because we do have to take in mind that what's one of the biggest, things that make the biggest money makers out there?
Yeah.
Betting. Sports betting. So we don't want to start messing and having fans thinking that It's something going on with the integrity of the game. So you got to clean up this flopping nonsense. You have to clean it up. Last night, I thought it was extremely bad. I thought OKC all across the board, this was one of their worst moments, in my opinion. You know how I feel about OKC. You know how I feel about Shea. But damn it, I got to call it like I see it. It's facts over feelings.
That's a guy who has been a Shea apologist. That's a guy who's been one of his biggest supporters of him winning MVP. He's been obviously anti-Nikola Jokic throughout most of his time since Joker's become in the MVP conversation. That's one of your guys, Adam Silver. That's one of your dudes. And he's saying that this series, listen, it was 131 to 108. Put Luka in there. I still think the Thunder probably sweep this thing. So this isn't a knock on the Thunder and their skill set. They're a deep basketball team. They're a good defensive basketball team that can put up a lot of points. And this wasn't like an atrocious night of free throw shooting. Only two guys went to the free throw line for the Thunder. Shea went seven times, and I believe Mitchell went three times. The Lakers were at the free throw line a heck of a lot more. But it was every time down the floor, it was either a flop or it was a obvious turn to the ref and just throw your hands up and complain. Meanwhile, I'm watching Minnesota and San Antonio. I'm seeing guys get mugged out there and no call, which I'm for. Allow the rough play. But we have to get I think it's flopping and complaining. Flopping and complaining are the two biggest issues in the NBA. And I know I sound like a broken record but nothing's changing. Until I hear Adam Silver come out and talk about this, the way he's talked about tanking, I can't imagine unless they do this behind closed doors and they just don't want to draw attention to it. Perkins is right. There are many people that believe NBA games or aspects of an NBA game, and when I say many people, I do believe many people are leaning toward, is that fixed? Are they trying to fix it? I don't think officials come into a game saying, yeah, we're going to make sure the Thunder cover the spread. We're going to make sure the Thunder win. I don't believe that's actually happening. But the Tim Donahue story led me to not believe, which was factual, that if a referee has a hard problem with a star, he's going to go after him. He went after Allen Iverson. Didn't like how Allen Iverson treated one of his fellow officials. Vowed to get him the next night and called him for several carries, which they don't call in the NBA. So to try to get rid of some of that thinking and also just help with the optics of the game. Mike, I don't think it's that difficult of a fix. Not just fining guys, but actually putting games on the line. If you're a repeat offender and we're going back and reviewing the tape and it is obvious that you're flying, if you're going up and you're shooting a shot and the second some guy gets close to you, your arms flail up in the air as if you just got electrocuted, that should be what the NHL calls embellishment. I don't think it's that difficult. And you come out and you say, hey, we had four accounts in that last game of flopping by this player. You give them a limit. I don't know what that limit is. 10 times in a season, every 10th time you are found later in the film, it's going to require more work for officials to have flopped. You miss a game. You put the same kind of pressure on that as you do technical fouls. Maybe more. Because what is it, 16 games? If you have 16 techs, you miss a game. It's not going to be money for most of these dudes. Because most of the guys that are flopping are typically your superstars on the team. And then I think complaining to the officials, we have to do something about it. I think you have to treat that like a delay of game. When the guy's going to throw the ball in and somebody grabs the ball before and is messing with it, they give you a warning. If you do it again, they give you a technical. I think that something like that, now that is that's a harder one to do because it's human nature and you're going to have to train that out of players because we're seeing it in the youth movement. We're seeing guys flop and complain at the officials. We're seeing it in college too. College, they don't let you get away with it as much, but we're seeing signs of it. You have to, if you're seeing a guy constantly complain to the ref. I mean, we had a powwow. The Lakers had a powwow with the officials. If you want to talk to an official, I have no problem with during a free throw, you turn to that official and say, hey, what'd I do right there? What did you get me for? And that official was like, hey, here's what I saw. You know, your elbow went into him. You smacked him on the temple and it looked like you caught him. Man, I didn't feel his head. Well, it looked like he got his head and his head turned a little bit. I have no problem with players during a down moment, like a free throw attempt or there's a timeout and you want to run over real quick to the official and say, hey, what'd you get me for? If you can do it in a professional way. But if it's just turning and putting the hands out, even like Joker does, the please, sir, it looks like he's alms for the poor, you know, kind of begging. That stuff has to go away. If you want to go have a conversation with an official and learn from what you did, great. And not every time an official is going to be able to explain it because what they saw was a guy go to the ground. They didn't actually. What was there, a call? I think it was actually for the Nuggets in the regular season. And they weren't even looking at the screen. And I think Joker fell down. And they turned and saw Joker on the ground. And they're like, oh, there obviously was a foul there, so we're calling it. There's so much of that happening that the only way to start to clean it up is to get strict with these guys. And I don't know. I just, the more we focus on the stuff that doesn't matter, it's like the NCAA. We just talked about that with Mark Johnson. All these things that we never really thought are an issue are now suddenly an issue. We don't need to fix college basketball in the games. We don't need to make it four quarters. It's fine the way it is. There's a lot of other things that need to be fixed and need more focus on it. Yes, Michael.
I had a curiosity Google searched flopping t-shirt, and I found a number of t-shirts, and a couple of them refer to LeBron James. But it's gotten so bad.
Well, it's not even LeBron.
They're actually selling NBA t-shirts.
LeBron isn't even the biggest problem anymore. He flops. They all do. But your MVP, who's going to be named MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is the face of your league right now. And he's a phenomenal player. What kind of sucks for him, and honestly Thunder fans, is your run. This isn't going to be like Golden State's run. You might be a dynasty. The Thunder might be a dynasty. Outside of Oklahoma, they will not be remembered as a great dynasty. They will be remembered for flopping and how they got all the whistles. Is that fair or unfair? I think the truth's probably somewhere in between. I think we're an extremist sports society sometimes. So we tend to take, Kansas City Chiefs got called. They didn't get called for this. Oh, they get all the whistles. I think we're extreme on that sometimes. And I think Thunder fans are a little correct in their assessment of, you guys are just watching the highlights. You're not watching the full games of Shai. There's plenty of examples where Shai's phenomenal. But the bad examples are stacking up to the point where you can't ignore it, man. You just, even guys like Kendrick Perkins, they're not ignoring it anymore. You know, who was it? I saw, was it Scott Van Pelt issued an apology for calling out Shai? Why did he issue a damn apology? Probably because ESPN's like, dude, that's our face of our league. Stop, please. He calls him out and says he's not as good without all the flopping, and then comes back and says, I apologize. He is that good. I just got a little frustrated with some of the foul calls. That's a problem. He's a good player. He's a great player. But you have to get a handle on this, and you have to do it now. Because, again, the Thunder might go win. They might win the title this year, and they might very well win it next year. They might be a three-peat team in a era of the NBA where even Steph Curry said the day of the dynasty is dead, and the Thunder could go against all of that. But 10, 20 years from now, the Nuggets might be remembered for their championship run and say, oh, that was a little easier because guys were hurt. Sure, and I acknowledge that. I'd much rather be remembered for that than what the Thunder are going to be remembered for with their mini-dynasty startup right here.
Speaking of dynasties, I think you're right. I think culture has changed a little bit, or maybe even a lot, to look at these dynasties and want to tear down their legitimacy. If you go back in the day and you look at the Doomsday defense, or you look at the Steel Curtain, those defense played dirty.
It's not like we remember them for
how good they were. We don't remember them for being dirty.
Right. And I think the dynasties are harder to come by because of the aprons right now, which is really unfortunate for the Thunder because they have a chance to buck the trend. Nobody really thought we'd see championships. And I think even Calvin Booth, GM at the time of the Nuggets, said, hey, our goal isn't to win a championship every year. It's to win, you know, to win like multiple championships in 10 years. So the goal is not really to be a dynasty. Steve Kerr came out and said, it's only natural the second a team arrives and becomes the best team, you start to hate them. That's not what's going on with the Thunder, man. There are a lot of reasons to be rooting for the Thunder. The problem is the biggest thing that plagues the NBA is what they're accused of doing on a nightly basis, especially Shea. But they all do it.
When it was Larry and Magic, I mean, those guys were getting pounded. When it was Michael Jordan, he was getting pounded. They didn't flop.
But there's an extreme there, too, because when they changed the rules after Jordan was being mugged by the Detroit Pistons, it wasn't really fun to watch because now you're not even seeing offense. You're just seeing, you know, it's basically like hockey. You're just shoving guys up against a wall for an hour. There's extremes on both sides. But this is an easier fix, guys. We're making this way too complicated. I get what you're saying. Like, historically, well, Jordan was tougher, Bird was tougher. Maybe so. But there was a point where that even got frustrating to watch. But let guys go. The Minnesota Spurs series is proving that you will let guys go. But it's the way the Thunder play, by your guidelines and your rules, that they've just taken advantage of. And this is why I don't fault the players. It's disgusting to watch. But if you want to win a title, if the name of the game is to win money or to make money and win championships, why wouldn't you take advantage of that? If you're telling me if I go up for a layup and I embellish a little bit, I have a better chance of going to the free throw line instead of just missing the layup, then I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to change the way I play basketball. You're hearing players that don't flop come out and say, yeah, I'm probably going to have to change the way I do things. If they're going to keep doing it this way, I'm going to contact referees in the offseason or contact people that know and say, hey, what could I have done here to get that foul call? And they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you. Try to weave your body in a weird way that gets his hand somewhat close, and then there's going to be contact there. Let me read some of the texts. Aaron says on SGA, SGA looks like a fish out of water. He does, and he doesn't need to. That's what's sucky about it, man. He's good. He's a good enough player where he doesn't need to do that stuff. Travis, the new guy, they should add fighting to basketball like they do in hockey. We've talked about that. I don't know that you can. I mean, Michael, the optics of watching hockey fights are different than basketball fights.
Hockey's just a more inherently violent sport. It is the most inherently violent sport. You kind of have to have
But that. You're not. But that's not like two guys just squaring up and going to punch each other a few times. These guys are usually grappling and wrestling each other to the ground and that kind of thing, and they're on skates. In basketball, you're going to turn up getting guys bare knuckle bones in it, man, and just that's all they got. They're just punching each other. And
it's easier to hit without all those pads on.
It's going to look more like a street fight than it's going to look like a hockey. Hey, we're going to hit each other a couple times, and now we're going to just like tackle each other.
And on top of that, you know you have idiots in the crowd who want to join in.
Yeah, I think that
they're right there.
I think that would be too tricky. I get what you're saying. I just think it would be too tricky to do it. It would let them get some of their frustration out. Texter, like the next basketball player that flops all on the ground, just body slam them and make them feel something. No penalties, throwing no technicals. I get it. But these extreme takes are going to come because you're extremely frustrated with certain sports. I do.
Maybe we put them in a penalty box. Have a little penalty box. They have to sit in the crowd for 2 minutes and watch their team play 5-on-4 basketball.
Just stop flopping. Because it's frustrating people now. It's not cute anymore. It's not to the point where it was just like, oh, he flopped. Now players are seeing all the same stuff we're seeing on social media, and they're calling it out. They're calling it out. They're saying, man, that was a major flop right there. Austin Reeves was the pinnacle of frustration when he's looking at the refs saying, what are we supposed to do? And they're gathering. They're getting into fights out there. They're looking at the refs saying, "Don't talk to me like that." The refs saying, "Don't talk to me like that." And it's just gotten out of control. Meanwhile, the silver bullet gets on all of these shows and says, "Oh, he's beaming. He's so proud of himself for solving tanking, for finding a way." When it damn near gave OKC a top seven pick because they traded and it would have worked out that way. And Washington's got the first pick, and they might trade it. So, like, all this stuff, and it took them how many tries to get there? Like, 9 tries to get the actual number one pick? Eastside Chris, I agree. The whining is crap. Give a warning. Next one is a foul. Something. If I call foul on you, and you turn to me, and you say, what the crap was that? What in the hell was that? Are you blind? That's a warning. Hey, that's your warning. I'll go to the scores desk. Hey, guys, Joker has a warning on him. Next one is a foul or a free throw. Make it extreme. I don't want to get to the point where we're shooting free throws all day, but, man, we might have to have 20 games of just strict calls where we're not allowing any BS.
I mean, imagine Oklahoma City playing an opponent that gets 15 extra opportunities to shoot a free throw.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a 70% shooting team, that's going to be pretty good for you.
And then flopping, I get that it's harder to figure out if they were embellishing or not, sometimes in the action mode, because it's pretty fast-paced. It looks obvious to us, because we get to go see the replays 3 or 4 times in a row. For the refs, they're getting right back into the action of the game. I do think there should be someone in charge, that there is someone in charge, that goes through every game and evaluates how the officials did and how that game was officiated. I think there needs to be an official that's like, that was a flop, that was a flop, that was a flop. Okay, we have recorded 6 times in the last game for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander where he embellished, where it wasn't a natural basketball play, and he was clearly just pretending that he got hit so hard it made him fall to the ground. He had 6 of those. I say you make a limit of it. There's a limit. If we catch you doing it, you know, you get to your first 10 times, you get to your first 20 times, whatever it is, not just a fine. Like, you miss a game. You hit them where it hurts, and that's what hurts these players. The fines don't hurt. They want to be out there, man. This is a show-me league, man.
You do it in the playoffs, it's got to be worse, because you know they're going to be like, well, I'll do it now and accept the fine later because I want to win this game.
Yeah.
So you make the fine not just like a third of the paycheck. You make it the entire game.
Yeah, you either make the fine big enough where it really hurts, or you start suspending them for games. You make it embarrassing. Like, they should be embarrassed by it. I don't think Shai is. I think he's like, dude, I'm the best player in basketball. We're rolling through these playoffs. You can tell me I flop, but nobody can stop me. You have to make it embarrassing. Well, hey, you flopped 10 times in your last playoff game. So you're suspended for the very next game. I don't know. Maybe that's too extreme, but I'm ready for extreme because this is crap.
I don't like putting things on uniforms, but maybe they should start putting like red cards on the uniforms. Hey, you flopped like 6
like
times in
mark.
A game, you get this little red card. And as it accumulates, like you get more red on your uniform.
Instead of those things we used to put on helmets, you know, how many sacks you got or how many tackles you got or whatever, and you decorate your helmet with it.
Yeah, Ohio State, your uniform.
Yeah, we decorate their jerseys with how many times they flop, and that's now like covering their jersey. Aaron texting in, the NBA should institute free throw penalties. If you commit one of these special penalties like flopping, all players on the floor get 2 free throw attempts each play. Yeah, but that would mean we got an 8-hour basketball game. But, I mean, it might have to be extreme, man.
It's going to kill flopping real quick.
That's what you – and for Perkins – and again, this just – Adam Silver is not the best commissioner in the league. He's by far the best commissioner in the league. I think Rob Manfred's better than him. They're at least making changes in baseball that are good. They're good changes.
Adam Silver is the best commissioner in the league right now.
Yeah. The Eastside Chris, yeah, miss a game. Look what it cost San Antonio last night with Wimby. Yes. San Antonio might very well win that game. Although Anthony Edwards is saying, you know, the game actually, they were harder. He said that they were harder to beat because they flowed better without Wimby. Oh, wait, I thought Spurs fans said Wimby was the best passer ever. He said they flowed better. The main difference was, yeah, we got inside the paint a lot easier because there's not an 8-foot monster there to block shots. But, hey, Minnesota made this a series. Speaking of that, does that make you feel any better about the Nuggets situation? A team that many believed they could have beat, they should have beat in the playoffs in the first round, is at least forcing, we're at least going to have six games in this series between the T-Wolves and the Spurs. And the Wolves could win. Maybe. They could. Does that give you any more confidence in Josh Kroenke potential or throwing out the potential running it back phrase on Friday? And I'm just not so sure. I want to listen, I love Jamal Murray and I love the guys on this team, but I'm still not seeing the dogs. And I know Danson and I know Derbs, they were talking about the Christian Brown leadership thing, and David Adelman came out in defense of him saying, no, he is a leader. Dude, the comment wasn't, I'm a leader of the team. That would have been fine. I do think Christian Brown is a leader of the team. I just don't think he's the leader of the team. So I know it's semantics, right? A couple different words here and there, but it is what the message is. And the fact is, if Christian Brown truly believes he's the leader of the team, I think that's a problem. 31 minutes after the hour, Michael, we'll take a quick break here. The Broncos are re-signing George Payton. They gave him a contract extension. Good with it, bad with it? I don't know how you could be bad with this. George Payton has all and then some made up for the Russell Wilson debacle. By far. But some people are like, really? Really? George Payton is not going anywhere. We'll be right back.
All year, you heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL on KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I remember when George Payton, obviously George Payton was here before Sean Payton. I'll admit right here on the show, Michael, I thought once Sean Payton comes over, they're going to try this for a year or so, and there's going to be a power struggle. There's going to be a little bit of a power struggle, and it's not going to work out. Kind of what happened between Calvin Booth and Michael Malone. I thought that would be the issue between the Paytons, and couldn't have been further from the truth.
And you admit it. You admit it, which
I always
is,
admit
which is
when
very
I'm
awesome
wrong.
Of you. A lot of people would be like, no, I love them the entire
wrong,
time.
I'm so very little that I can admit it, Michael. It's just not a new thing for me. It's fine. But man, dude, it wasn't as much the trade for Russell Wilson as it was the extension for that really knocked George Payton. But then as we learned later, like Russell Wilson and his agent really put it to George Payton. Kind of like, hey, you got him. He wants the extension. And basically leading us to all believe, and George to probably believe, that if you don't give him the contract extension, you're going to have a very disgruntled quarterback. And, you know, even though we thought Russell Wilson was like this perfect guy in Seattle, as soon as he came to Denver, all those like skeletons in his closet started to come. And not that he was a terrible guy, but there were just the reports that he was somewhat difficult to work with. Marshawn Lynch, one of his great teammates, didn't even have his cell phone number, Mike. So now that we kind of know what we know now, if that makes sense, Russell Wilson putting it to George Payton saying, like, hey, if I don't get my extension, man, probably not going to have a happy quarterback in your locker room. Do you want that? Because you got me. You got me for 2 years. You're paying me a lot of money to keep me here. You traded a lot to get me. Do you really want to put me on a shelf and say that I'm not the future of this team? Because they fully believed Super Bowls were in the future when they traded for Russell Wilson, Michael. So George wasn't going to say, hey, no, yeah, you can be unhappy for 2 years and this thing's just going to go south. They wanted to give this the best shot possible. So, yes, we still blame George Payton for the extension, but I kind of understand where he's coming from a little bit more now. He just signed a 5-year contract extension. He's going to be with the Broncos through 2030. And I'm so happy with that because, man, it's not always about the mistakes you make. It's about how you recover or if you recover from those mistakes. And he did.
And, man, he recovered.
I mean, he hired
Nathaniel Sean Payton.
He did. He obviously went forward with the trade. He hired Nathaniel Hackett, too. Let's not forget, he hired Nathaniel Hackett.
And that was a mistake. That's one of two mistakes.
And there was more colossal because you're coaching your quarterback, right? So, dude, nobody would have predicted that in 2026 we're talking about a 5-year contract extension for George Payton after the Russell Wilson debacle and the Nathaniel Hackett hire.
Yeah, I think we were talking about him being fired.
Yes, he thought he was on borrowed time, and then when Sean Payton got there, it was going to be, yeah, we'll go a year here. You handle all the GM duties as I try to really get a grasp of this team and build a culture, and then when the time comes, you know, I'll get somebody in here that's more of a yes man to me. And I don't think George Payton is a yes man to Sean. I think both of them work really well together. Sean Payton said, I've enjoyed working with George over the last 4 seasons and appreciate the alignment we share in positioning the Broncos for sustained success. The Nuggets won a championship, Michael, not that long ago. And Calvin Booth and Michael Malone couldn't have been on further sides of how they really thought they could build the Nuggets up to win more. You know how hard it is to get big-time figures in the league like a Sean Payton to align with a GM that's already there, and then Sean knows, hey, you're trading a draft pick for me. You're paying me a lot of money here. You're not doing that just to have me coach X's and O's. You're having me here to change the culture and to get a lot of say in what this franchise is going to do moving forward. So I think George Payton, like one of the sneaky MVPs of this organization, probably had to swallow some pride too. Probably had to do a lot of that because you're not coming in telling Sean exactly what to do. In fact, a lot of what we heard with the Saints was there was more of a mutual working. It was more of a mutual agreement of how they were going to go forward with things. That's what we're seeing here with the Broncos. And since those two bad decisions have ran their course, Denver has seemed to make the right decision every step of the way. And it looks like they made the right decision this year, too. Trading a first-round pick for Jaylen Waddle. Does anyone think that was a bad move? Anybody?
Someone from the first round who really wanted to go to the Broncos.
Maybe. But I'm happy about this. So George Payton signed a 5-year contract extension with the Denver Broncos. Got that done over the weekend. Actually, on Friday morning. Got it done over the weekend. And that is great news for the Broncos going forward.
Do you remember another year that the Broncos didn't have a first and second round pick? Because I mean, there are years where the Broncos haven't had a first rounder, but
no, there's been a lot of those recently.
It's such a boring year.
Yeah, very boring when it comes to the draft, but yet the Broncos are still, nationally, I think people believe the Broncos are poised to follow up with maybe the same, if not better. If, again, I know people are still talking about Bo and the ankle thing. I'm frustrated with that conversation. I know, and I've also been accused of, well, if it's not a story, don't talk about it. Well, I have to talk about the fact that it's not a story, Mike. So it becomes a story. So it is a story. So Bo Nix's ankle is a story because it's not a story, and it is a story, but it's not a story. It's not a story right now. He's going to miss some OTAs. I think Bo's going to be fine. I don't think he forgot how to throw an out route, and I don't think he's going to have to relearn how to throw an out route to Jaylen Waddle or a drag route to Jaylen Waddle. I think they'll be fine.
Well, as you know, Brady, Jaylen Waddle's just not an experienced professional wide receiver, so he's not going to be able. We need him at these OTAs.
It's such a dumb take Well, oh, Bo really needs OTAs. You literally thought that if he would have played in the last two games, the Broncos would be Super Bowl champs. Same people saying that. Dixon says Waddle is nothing special. What are you talking about? Not only does he have hot, nasty speed, but his ability, not just the speed, but to get open, and the fact that they're going to use him in so many different areas of the field, Michael, I'm not even going to say the J word out loud, but that might actually be the one. Because they're going to be able to use him in a lot of different ways. And that's going to open up Courtland Sutton. That's going to open up this run game. Yeah. Dixon, come on. Get out of here. Get out of here with that, man. Waddle, nothing special? Yes, very special. More special than what they would have got with the late first round pick.
Dixon's just upset that they had a bad draft
Chiefs had a good
and
draft.
And they're going to get swept by the Broncos.
Chiefs had a good draft. I thought the Chiefs actually had a really good draft, Michael. I mean, they got stud defensive back. They got a stud defensive back. They got that the D tackle out of Clemson. I actually think they had a really good draft, which has me a little concerned because I think they did really well in this year's draft. They got the edge rusher they needed. I mean, they had two first round picks, and then they had an early second round pick, and I thought they drafted perfectly. They pretty much went all defense, like 1 through 5, and then their last couple of picks were offensive guys, but I think the Chiefs had a good one. 45 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest. Or where are we? Where are we at on the clock? Huh? But news, sports, latest on the local sports flash. Your fault. Let's go.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Michael, we blew the clock. Your fault. That's your fault. Great conversation, though, about George Payton. All right, what did we learn coming up next? I have a feeling the goalie change is going to backfire tonight, Mike. Hashtag hockey guy. What do we learn?
All year, you heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
What did we learn, Michael? It's going to be Blackwood tonight over Wedgwood, and I have a bad feeling about it, Mike. Bad feeling.
I learned that I have a good feeling that Avs are going to win.
Why did you fade everything down? Why did you? What are you doing back there, Mike?
I don't know.
That'll do it for us, I guess. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Good night.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.